lectionary readings, but we'll begin in the Gospel of Luke. Just look at one verse, verse 16 here, as we consider ourselves to be voices in the chain of command. Luke 10, 16. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this verse and these passages we will look at. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for creating us and causing us to be your voices here in this universe. A symphony about what you want to say in this world. Help us to play that role, to fulfill our part. Father, St. Paul of old said, and pray that you would open his mouth and cause him to speak as he ought. May it be with us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago now, I had just finished a graveside burial. The funeral was inside and outside is the graveside service, and those are usually pretty short, whatever homily or address I want to make to the family or other visitors, whether it be one of challenge or comfort or in their grief, is usually done at the funeral service and not really at the gravesite. The gravesite is usually just a couple of prayers. But I just finished up that graveside service, and I turn it over to the funeral director, and there's some instruction there about, laying some flowers and things of that sort. Turning it over to the funeral director, who then proceeded to bring what I thought was just the most profound meditation. I mean, I wish I had done it. I mean, it was just like, I said, well, why did I even come here today? He gave this meditation that I thought was just spectacular, such that all in attendance there at the graveside would know that every single individual is to be appreciated and celebrated in their life. He did a masterful job. In essence, he was really bringing a message from the Bible. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God is the Word. God is expressing himself throughout the universe. He's the Word. We later identify the Word as Jesus in that passage in John, of course. But we humans are made in his image. And he said this way better than I can say it, but he ended up saying that we as humans are, we all play our role, and we all, being made in the image of God because he is the Word, we are little mini words or expressions of him in the world. Every single one of us. And we all are created. We all show up, right? For a season. In various places, on this continent or that continent, South Troy, some of us, how can it be? We all show up for a season in various places for a set time of duration. We are, therefore, something that God has to say. Everything about this world, but particularly us, made in his image, are voices, expressions, words. It's something he wants to say. And all and each of us are unique. We may be similar, but we are never duplicate. I mean, even identical twins, or they end up, they don't say the same words at the same time. They don't necessarily live the same length of days. So all of us are unique, even an identical twin. Not exactly the same. Never a duplicate. And this means that there's only one you. There's never been you that came before you, and there's never been a you that's going to come after you. And so the celebration there at the gravesite was about that person and their voice in the world, their voice of God to the world. So they are to be celebrated. They are to be appreciated. And only you can do what you uniquely do. And so the universe, and particularly humans, are this great symphony that God has composed and caused to be because he has something to say in the world and to the world. Now, that is true on some universal level, and it obviously is. How much more for each one of us who are Christians? And we have received the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world, teach the nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always. How much more are we to be those who are speaking that? And the Great Commission kind of makes us a voice in his chain of command directly. We are echoers. We are spokespersons. We are mouthpieces. Somebody said, didn't you just go to Sunday school and pay the time? It's not opposite at all of what we've done in Sunday school. But it is about the value of our voice and the meaningfulness of our voice. Again, some of us are echoers. We're spokespersons, you might say. We're mouthpieces. Of course, occasionally we run across those people who are megaphones when they don't necessarily need to be a megaphone. And in Luke 10 and 1, there is a everywhereness about this idea. In Luke 10 and 1, he sends them out. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them out ahead of him, two by, in every town where he himself will go. Well, guess what? Jesus is in charge of the whole world, and he has people that are going to come from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. The whole world, you know, is gone out before him. And so there's an everywhereness about what we're talking about here today. We're sent. Now, if you have a King James or an older translation, it may say 70 instead of 72. Please don't panic about that. There is this idea that, you know, in the Greek Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it says 70, and the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation, it says 72 instead of 70. Don't be upset about that. That's easily resolved. That's not the point. The point of it is that both 70 and 72 are a representative figure about the nations of the world, and that God is going there, and he is sending us every nation under the heaven. That's the point. And you are a voice in that. I want to begin by saying there are at least two things about verse 16 and this idea of a chain of command that are very important for us to realize. And number one is, it's not about you. And this should give us tremendous liberty and freedom to speak. Whether the person is accepting us or rejecting us, whether the person is glad to hear and peaceably receiving what we're saying, or they are mad about hearing what we're saying. The one who hears me. And the one who rejects you is really rejecting him. And oh, by the way, the one who is rejecting him is rejecting the one who sent him, which is God the Father. So the first thing about this is, it's not about us, and we can be free, even to be rejected. But the second thing is this, and this is true in our culture, and our culture needs to be reminded about this. There is no room for splitting Jesus from God. You see that there? A lot of people say, oh, you know, I follow God, and if God ever talked to me, and you know, I will follow what God says, but, well, Jesus, really? He'll say no to Jesus. And they say yes to God. What does that verse say about this? The one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. There is no splitting off of God and Jesus, biblically. Good for us to know, even as it is very common in our modern culture. But again, according to our opening illustration here, our voices go out, and our voices are varied. They're not the same. Each one of you have a unique voice, a unique song, you might say, that your life is singing. That symphony idea there. Our voices are varied. And it's important for us to know that God is not a respecter of persons. I think we could all say amen. Yes, credentials have a place. They play a role, an important role. Credentials have a place, but all have a voice in His chain of command. And so the first slide I'm going to show you here is from the Old Testament, repeated in the New Testament. It says this, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, the old King James says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings you have ordained strength because of your foes. And this is a prophecy about what is going to happen to Jesus. And then in verse 16 of Matthew 21 in the New Testament, Jesus comes on the scene. And the setting here is He comes into the temple Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry there. And the kids, the babies, are singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. But the credentialed people, the people who should have praised Him and recognized Him, the Pharisees, said, are you listening to this? You've got to stop them from doing that. That's the setting. They, the Pharisees, the credentialed ones said, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, the Pharisees, yes, and have you never read that out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise? The credentialed ones, the Pharisees, were the ones who were being rebuked even by these infants. You talk about important voices. Infants, nursing babies, are a part of the symphony of what God is saying in the world. And in this case, that Jesus is Lord. They were saying, Hosanna! Hosanna to the King! How about our Old Testament lesson? Remember from 2 Kings in chapter 5 and verse 1, Naaman, a great Syrian guy, the commander of the army, the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master in high favor. He's a great conqueror, right? He had everything going right with him in his life, right? But not only was he this mighty man of valor, he was a leper. So he had this illness about him. The reading had to do with the healing, the miraculous healing of his leprosy. One of the real heroes of the story is not the great Elisha, who ends up the person who we say that this is all about Elisha and his power, his ability to perform miracles. But if we look at verse 2 and 3, we see that one of the real heroes here, it says, now the Syrians on one of their raids, okay, back in the past, had carried off a little slave girl from the land of Israel. And she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. Naaman's got the leprosy. We were just introduced to Naaman. And she said to her mistress, to this guy with leprosy, to his wife, would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. So this little slave girl, no credentials, not a big shot, a real no-name. We never find out her name. You all heard of Elisha, right? The miracle worker? This little slave girl, her voice, she is somebody way down the ladder on the chain of command. She is the one who kicks off a series of events culminating in that miraculous healing. Babes and sucklings. A little slave girl who simply opens her mouth and says, hey, there's a solution for you in the God of Israel and the prophet that He sent there. And there's another, in the same story here, there's another, if not a real hero, then at least a part of the symphony of voices that God puts. In verse 10, we're introduced to a messenger. So the little slave girl opens her mouth, and then we say that Elisha, right, he's the man of God, he's the powerful one here. he sends a messenger out to Naaman, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. We never find out his name either. A little slave girl, we don't know her name. We'll find out one day in glory. This messenger, we don't know his name. We don't know if it's a little boy or not. Messenger. To no name. By the way, look how Naaman was originally offended at this. That the credentialed guy, the big shot, didn't come out. Look at verse 11. But Naaman was angry. And he went away saying, behold, I thought he would come out. I don't want to deal with some messenger. I thought he would come out, and he would come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place, and cure the leper. Do we know that God uses no names? Do we really know that? Do we know that he is not a respecter of persons? There are verses in the Bible that say that very thing. He's not a respecter of persons. How about 1 Corinthians 1? Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many of a noble birth. You know, it's like us. We're a ragtag group. Not all of you got to be born in South Troy, but I did. So good for me, right? But we're just as ragtag. We are who we are. But God chose what's foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose that which is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, like infants, like a little slave girl, like a messenger boy, like me, like you. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ, who became unto us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. All about him. The all-time great story in this regard was God using a donkey. Remember that story in the Bible? God using a donkey. A jackass to set the prophet straight. By the way, in the Old Testament, a prophet is called a seer. S-I-S-E-E-R. One who sees. A seer. And in the story we're about to read from Numbers here, Balaam is the seer, and he can't see right in front of him. How much of a seer can he be? He was a seer who did not see. Look at verse 22. God was angry with him because he was going out. God was going to have this prophet bless Israel. The king of the enemies was going to have this man curse Israel. God was angry with him. The angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary, trying to get him not to go and not to curse the people of Israel. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord. The donkey saw the angel there. We better not go there. You know, I got my master on my back here. We're walking here. We can't go and walk into the slaughter at the hand of the angel of the Lord. He was riding on the donkey. His two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. Don't do this. Don't come this way. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam, this is the prophet here, he starts beating on his donkey to turn her to go into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a narrow path between the vineyards and a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he beats her again because he is hell-bent on sinning. Let's go to the next part. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And so the donkey sees this. I can't get out of the way. I'm trying to rescue my master who can't see this imminent danger right in front of him. There was no way to turn to the right or the left. And so then the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. She lays down and Balaam's furious. His anger was kindled and he struck the donkey with his staff. And then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, "Look, what have I done to you that you have beaten me these 3 times? Balaam said to the donkey, "I'm beating you because you made a fool out of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand and I would kill you." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life and been faithful to you? All your life long until this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way?" He says, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down and he fell on his face. The seer finally became a seer. But it's the donkey who saw first and rescues him from going out and sinning. A symphony. God can use a jackass. He can use a doojack. Right? That means he can use you and you and you and you. Voices. He's painting a picture. Your life is unique. We've already seen infants and babies and a slave girl and a messenger and now even a donkey. And all of them having very unique roles. I'm not taking anything away from credentialed people and people who are the Elijah and the Elishas of the world and the Jeremiahs of the world. But the point is, no one's excluded. That's what that graveside service was all about. That person buried that day played their part. And it's to be respected, appreciated, and celebrated. Each of us have our unique role. And here in Matthew chapter 10, our gospel lesson in verse 1, the disciples are sent. How about us? And how about the message that we are sent? Are we going to be a donkey who doesn't speak? How about us who have been given the words of life from our Lord to speak? One last lesson in our New Testament epistle in Galatians chapter 6. I'm just going to look at 3 verses very, very quickly. First, we're going to look at verse 16. And it says that it's got this odd ending to it. It says that, the point is that we are the Israel of God. Now, all the time in the Bible, you read about the God of Israel, the God of Israel. But he's addressing Christians here, and he's referring to them as the Israel of God. We are now the Israel of God. We're the Israel of God. And so we have this role. And what Israel failed to be, they were to be his priests to the world, to all the nations, not only to each other, but to the whole world. They were to be his voice. And they failed to be that. Look at verse 6 of this passage. It tells us here that we are to share. Let the one who is taught in the word share all good things, even with those who are teachers. There's not a person here that I can't learn from. There's not a person here that... Pick your prominent person out there. There's not a person here that can't play an important role in the life of the most prominent Christian person you know. We are to share, and again, be what Israel failed to be. Be his voice in the chain of command. Whether they receive his word or not, share his word. Share his word even in rejection. I want to go back to the gospel lesson for just a moment here. Luke 10. Remember this part? Heal the sick. in that town, say unto it, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So there are people who are, that's the setting here is these people have received the peace, they're hearing the word of God, and so he ministers to the people there, and they're at peace with him, he's at peace with them, he heals them, and say to them, give them the gospel message. And the gospel message is that the kingdom of God has come unto you. But then verse 10 says, but whenever you enter a town, and they do not receive you, we don't want to hear it. And they do not receive you, then go into a street, but if they burn it down, that's what Sunday school is about, right? Don't burn down the town, right? Vengeance belongs to the Lord. That's what we're hearing here. But whenever you go into a town and they do not receive your word, go into its street, say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Meaning, you know, we're just doing this symbol here because, you know, your judgment's going to come, and it's going to come from God. It's not going to come from us. But then, after that wiping off the feet, listen, they still use the voice, and they give the same words and the same message that they gave to those who peaceably received them. Remember up on top there, when the people who listened to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So now you're in verse 10, and these people have said, no, we don't have anything to do with this. They wipe off their feet. Nevertheless, they say to them that the kingdom of God has come near. They still say that. That's the magnitude and the intensity of the calling that we have to be a part of the symphony of what God is speaking to the world. Finally, it's not just about evangelism. It's for each other. It's for the role that you and I play in your life and my life. And for our sanctification and for our discipleship. If we look at verse 1, this is the third verse, I promise you, three verses in Galatians 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Restore. That's the same word in the Greek that is used for mending a tent. I'm sorry, mending a net. They're all fishermen, right? The early apostles. And now they're no longer just, you know, catching fish. They're catching men. And so our job, now that we are catchers of men, right, fishers of men, is to make sure that we don't have defective nets. And so this word about restoring them means not only so they feel better in a therapeutic way, they feel good about themselves or whatever, but restore them means mend their nets. Get them to a point of health in their life that they have full fruitfulness in their life. You who are spiritual, do that for each other. Talk about using your tongue to delight other and then direct other people. That's what Sunday school is about. Using our voice here so that other people have full fruitfulness. Mend their nets. Be the voice in God's chain of command that they are brought back to that full fruitfulness. So they will again catch men and so fulfill their calling. Be voices in God's chain of command. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for your gospel lesson to us today. And we thank you for all the passages in the Bible that tell us that we are those indeed who are sent. Even as Jesus was sent, so are we sent. Help us to be these voices that only we can be in our several stations in life. Each of us have a word. Each of us are a word made in your image. Help us to value that in ourselves. Help us to use our tongues that indeed we do direct and we do delight others. We praise you. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus.